Welcome everyone to the Proven Knowledge Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Church. I'm a music producer from Northeast Ohio. I began this weekly interview series to give you different perspectives from artists, producers, engineers, and other individuals in the music industry. In each episode, we touch on not only what has helped the person succeed, but we also touch on what has shaped them into the person that they are today. I hope you're able to gain some real proven knowledge from the show, and that it helps elevate you on your own journey to success as well. Let's get into it. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the 200th episode of the Proven Knowledge Podcast. Today's guest is another podcaster. I connected with him in the fall of 2022. His name is Jacob, and he hosts an awesome music series called The Sunday Night Army. Again, I think I was on his show probably in September, October of 2022. Just stay in touch with what he's been doing and his consistency and just his work ethic. You know, I've always been such a fan of, and I was happy to finally have him on the show this week. We had really cool in-depth discussions about running podcasts, you know, specifically his experience with podcasting, which spans over 20 years in total. He talked about the differences between podcasts, you know, back in 2004 versus how they are now. You know, the advancements in technology, things like that. We specifically talked about, you know, running podcasts, but music-related shows in general, booking guests, the different, you know, horror stories we've had, which was kind of cool to go into. I hope you guys enjoy that one. You know, and maybe if you're looking to start your own music show, this would be a good episode to check out and listen to. Because I think just Jacob having his, you know, series of expertise and, you know, his years of knowledge on the situation of being a podcaster is super cool. And his experience in music, both as an artist and a fan as well, very insightful. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. As always, 200th episode. Very glad to be here. And without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome everyone to episode 200 here on the Proven Knowledge Podcast. Today I have another fellow podcaster. Really love this guy's consistency. You know, when I talk about podcasters on the show or just anyone in general, I always like people that are that consistent with what they do and they're just really good at their craft. And I connected with this guy in 2022, I think probably the fall of 22, host of the Sunday Night Army podcast. Jacob is here. How are you doing, man?
Doing fantastic, and I'm glad that you're the one that's actually pressing the record button this time, not me, and I don't have to do it, so I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely, man. It kind of has like a weight off your shoulders feeling, doesn't it, to be on the other end sometime?
It does. Because one way it does, but another way, I don't have to prepare any questions.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah. Me, I don't have anything prepared. I just like being off the cuff. Uh-huh. You listen to my stuff. So yeah. I'm excited to answer and kind of have a good convo with you today.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to have you here, man. Like I said earlier, I think it's kind of long overdue to get you on the show. But, you know, to start off every episode, we have the guest just give some background on, you know, how long have you been doing podcasting? How'd you get into music initially? And kind of just a little bit about yourself for those that might not know.
Yeah, thanks, man. Well, it started off with a little bit of podcasting way back in the time of early 2004, 5, 6, around there. Then kind of took a break from all that when the music career picked up around, I don't know, I want to say 2017, 2018, where I figured out, you know, I want to write some stuff, I want to put some stuff down. I'm getting old in my age, so I'm like, well, you know, I need to do this now. And I'm like, okay, so I did some songs, did some tracks. I think I have about 20-something tracks out on my YouTube channel, which, you know, I do not promote. I don't have it on Spotify. It's just for fun. And then in the middle of that, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get into this whole podcasting thing. So I started a show called the ADG Podcast first a few years back. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. I had a buddy. We did it. We talked sports. We talked a whole bunch of different things. And I'm like, after about a year and a half of that, I'm like, you know what? I have an idea, and it would be only staying true to myself. And I did a show on my own, which is my main show, called The Sunday Night Army. And it's a show that has been around now for over 4 years, I think, and over 300-plus episodes. And it wasn't what it started off to be. It's not what it started itself out to be. And been doing that show for a bit. It's mainly a music show now, Music Discovery Show, and kind of doing another a third show right now on the side called the Prudent Podcast. But that's just more for, just putting another angle on my thought process with a colleague of mine who is also a podcaster. She's really good. And we just talk about all the world issues and things, which is a totally separate thing from my main show. And you just got to, you know how this is. You're a creator. You just have to get your outlets out at some way.
Yeah.
And this is what it's been. I've stopped music. I might have a track under my, sleeve maybe this year, maybe next year. But I think I'm done with that. And creativity stays with the podcast.
Yeah. And I always thought that was the cool thing about doing podcasts is that it's just another form of creativity. You know what I mean? It's like the music can be a form of putting yourself out there and expressing yourself, but you get a lot through conversations too. And that's what can do with podcasting. So I think it's super awesome. So I actually did not know that you had a podcast like a long time ago then. So you said like 2004, somewhere in there is kind of like when you got into it. So what do you think is, cause I don't know like how long you ran whatever show that was or whatever. I don't know the context behind that, but what do you think is a big difference between, when you were podcasting back then, there was no social media. There really wasn't even that much, internet presence for anyone really at that time. Things were just getting going at that time. What was the difference between that and now? Was it more just radio based or like, how was that different back then compared to what it is today?
Yeah, you kind of hit it right there. It was more radio-based. It was like a transition from doing kind of radio stuff into a separate record format where you can just listen to it at any time. And that went into a couple other websites that were up. So we were basically doing this stuff on our own, just recording audio samples to the PC and just playing it back whenever. And then eventually there was a website's radio websites. You can have your own radio channel online. I don't know if that's still around. I forget the name of it right now. So it transitioned into that. It was just like playing, goofing around, pretending you're on the radio, doing random stories, sports, crap like that. And that was so much different than what podcasting is now. And I'm pretty sure you listen to my stuff, so you know my opinion on this, that this is the medium now that's the most free out there. And in my show, the Sunday Night Army, changed from my beginning concept for some years ago, where I figured out, you know what, I want to talk to people just about random things and interview them. And then now it's a music discovery platform, but that's just the growth in the 4-year span.
Yeah.
And that occurred with my show. But back then you were just talking about whatever, I'm going to record a 20-minute file or 5-minute file about today's whatever happened. And that was your podcasting back then. We didn't have, because that was journalism school back then.
Yeah.
For me. So we didn't really have social media outlets. There was no this type of RSS feed that you could put anywhere. It was basically HTTP and FTP, where you just upload the files directly, and people would go on your site and upload them to their own computers. So it was. It was a crazy time, but it's way more streamlined now, and I like the way it's going.
Yeah, it's kind of the same with music. It's like the barriers of entry have definitely lowered for a lot of this stuff, so it's a lot easier to get started in doing these things nowadays. But it's kind of cool for you, I think, because you've seen both sides of it. You know what I mean? Like a person like myself, I wasn't old enough. Like 2004, I was like 7 years old. So I wasn't doing things like that at 7 years old. So I don't really remember like what it was like on both sides. You know what I mean? But to see kind of like the change and the shift in technology and to still be able to do it and like adapt to it, I think is super cool for you to be able to do that. So that's a great perspective. Definitely appreciate you for sharing that. And I do want to, I want to get into the Sunday Night Army and, the story behind that, but I feel like you have to be someone that is a huge music fan, music lover, to do a show and do it for 300 plus episodes and primarily interview artists and musicians. So like, where does your love for music initially come from? Was it as a kid? Was it not till later when you wanted to be an artist? Like, where do you think it initially started at?
Yeah, it was way early in life when I just absorbed everything on the radio, like most kids do. Whatever you hear, you absorb the music. And I remember this was going back. And if you dated yourself with telling me how old you were in 2004, so I'm going to do this, the same thing. I was like six, in 1987. So that just dates me even worse here. But the radio at that time was tremendous. In the late 80s, early 90s, radio was fantastic. Mm. So I was just absorbing all those artists and, you know, that type of music. And I liked discovering music even back then. Like, I would listen to, like, 50s, 60s music as I was, like, grade 8, you know, grade 7, 8. And everybody was like, oh, you know, this whole music came out. Pearl Jam came out. Nirvana came out. I'm like, yeah, but the 60s, Dion and the Belmonts is fucking fantastic. Because I was getting into that. I'm like, but there's, like, lyrics here and like, you know, stuff. Mm. So I was opposite genres of everybody else at that time. When I was growing up, I was going backwards.
Yeah.
I was learning all those genres going back. And then as I kept, you know, growing and through high school, I was like, it was like mid-90s. So it was like hip hop and then heavy metal at the same time. So it was like Tupac and like Scorpions. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was like both different genres there that I was getting into. And then eventually, as, you know, you kept going and radio got worse, then I started finding the online streaming artist. Mm-hmm. I got really into remixes online. Whoever was creating a remix, you know, producers were creating stuff. I was like, okay, that's better than what's on the radio. And that transitioned eventually into music discovery. I wanted stuff that is fresh.
Mm.
And the last 20 years online, you know, if you find a song, immediately you try to find that artist and trying to figure it out, because stuff that now I've learned even more, independent artists, indie artists, and new artists create, is so much more complex than what's being fed to us on the talking box.
Yeah. And I feel like it's always been that way, where you only kind of hear like 2% of what's actually out there. You know what I mean? Like overall, oh, yeah, on just the radio and things like that. And it's really a pain for the people that aren't just casual listeners. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a real music fan, I feel like you're not going in your car and just throwing on local radio and calling it a day. You know what I mean? No. Like, you can't do that. Like, I would hate that personally. I would rather be in silence than do that. Like, I have to have what I want to listen to on, yep, pretty much at all times. So I definitely feel you on that one. And I can tell that, you know, even just from like the artists that you interview, that you're into a lot of different genres and styles of music too, and, yep, that you have an appreciation for a lot of different tastes as well. So that's super cool. And diving into the podcast itself, specifically the Sunday Night Army, where did that name initially come from? Because I know that you put the episodes out on Sundays, but like,
yes,
explain for people, you know, how you came up with that title and what it means.
Sure. It's a fun story. I get asked once in a while, like, what the hell is this? Where does it come from? I'm like, oh, well, you guys weren't long enough with my career to remember when I said it. And it actually comes from my music career. Funny enough, my first EP I put out was called The Fallout Element, which is still available on my YouTube channel. Please don't go see it. And this was supposed to be the Sunday Night Army. I was sitting there. I have a bar downstairs in the house, and I line up my few beers for the weekend, and I'm like, oh, okay. Line up a couple beers, and I'm like, oh, man, this would be... Actually, I need a name for my second EP. What the hell is it going to be? I'm like, looking at my, you know, the 5-6 beers that I got, picked them up. I'm like, those beers are like my Sunday Night Army.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to deal with this on this Sunday. I'm like, oh, that'll be a good title for my next EP. And then then that hasn't happened yet. At that time, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going through my podcasting phase, and I'm thinking, like, huh, I had an audience that looked forward to listening to my show on Sunday. I called them my Sunday Night Army.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how the name, nice, came up and got developed to that. And
see, I actually, you know, never heard the story before, so that's a new one to me. Awesome. So it all started with a few beers then.
Oh, yeah. It was. Nice. I think it's funny. I have on Facebook. I don't know if I still have it. I know I have it on my Instagram story from, shit, this is like, I want to say five or 6 years back. I have the picture of them, and it says underneath, like, the name. I didn't even come up with it then. I just wrote it down with the image I posted.
Incredible.
So, It's still proof.
Incredible.
That I came up with it.
Yep. You should have got those beer cans like dipped in bronze or something, like, you know, like made into a trophy or something. Just hang it up and be like, this is the shrine of the real Sunday Night Army right here. The inspiration behind it.
I haven't seen. I'll send it to you. Yeah. As proof.
That's
for
awesome,
sure.
Man. I've never heard the story, so I was definitely curious about that myself. But super awesome, and like we just said about, you know, your love for different styles of music, and you interview so many different types of artists, and every week I see, like, you'll have a country singer, you'll have a rapper, then you'll have a producer, then you'll have a pop artist, like, just all kinds of different people. What do you think is the biggest thing that you've learned from being able to speak with, you know, such a diverse group of people every single week? Like, what do you take from every conversation that you have? Because I know it's just like getting so many different perspectives each and every week. So what do you think is the biggest thing you've learned from doing that?
The biggest thing I've learned from all these people is that they have the same goal. They have the same goal to tell a story. And the question I always ask in every episode is about their writing process, because that's where I learn how their mind works. And I know how I write music, and it's really strange. So I'll always like to pick their brain. I like to learn how their minds work. And for every genre, it's similar but different.
Hmm.
If you know what I mean? Like, it's they everybody has a writing process, a writing style, but it's similar but it's different. Like a rapper, like myself, might just go, you know, hook first, then, you know, whatever else, and then they just grow from that.
Yeah.
But everybody has a different style, different concept, but it comes from the same place. So it's really nice to see how they put it together.
Yeah.
So I keep learning how all these artists in every genres, how they create music. And there's artists that don't write for themselves. I don't have too many of those on the show, but I like to listen how they get inspired to do what they do. But the writing concept and the creating is the most fun thing to learn from every person that comes on the show, because it comes from, everybody says, oh, you know, my music, I was singing as a little kid. Yeah, but what is your process? And that is the best thing to learn about everybody.
Yeah. Hey there, hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I just wanted to take a quick minute out to let you know about a couple different ways that you can support the podcast. One of the ways is by clicking that support the podcast button within your streaming platform. That is if you want to be a monthly supporter of the show. You can contribute either 99 cents, $5, or $10 a month. So that's the first way, and that's the more traditional way that we've had now for the last couple years. The other method that we actually just recently introduced is from our good friends over at Ko-fi. Ko-fi is a virtual tip jar. We have set our limit to a minimum of $10, but you can go make one-time, one-off donations. So if you visit ko-fi.com/theprovenknowledgepodcast, you'll be able to donate. And all these different forms of donation go towards getting new guests every single week, getting potential sponsors on board to do giveaways, and overall just making the show better for you guys. So if you want to do that Ko-fi link, it's ko-fi.com/theprovenknowledgepodcast. Otherwise, again, look for that support the podcast button in your streaming platform if you'd like to be a monthly supporter. And I just want to say thank you guys for your contributions. And without further ado, let's get back into the episode. And that's what goes into the actual thing that we hear at the end, the end product.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like, that's where it starts from. And then you just kind of learn like where they drew inspiration from as well to kind of get to that point, which is super cool. And just like, I don't know, just like you just said, everybody has their own way of doing it too, which is super unique and super just tailored to them. So it's cool to point out, like, you can see the differences, but then you can see the similarities in everyone too. And it's like, yeah, exactly. We all kind of do like similar things just in our own ways. And that's what makes everybody unique, what they do as an artist too. And I know you interview kind of like what I do, where it's a lot of independent artists, a lot of people that are kind of just doing their thing. They might have jobs as well, and they're trying to, you know, use their jobs to fund their career and do all these other things that, you know, they have to do to keep living life, but also continue pursuing their passion as well. Was that always a goal to interview independent artists, or you just wanted to just interview anybody that, you know, was kind of in the music space that you felt was super cool? Like, was there a specific niche for independent artists, or did it kind of just lead to that?
No, not at all. It was funny because if you listen to the first 20 episodes, it was just like random, actually first like 50 or 60, just random people, like other artists and creators and a bunch of inspirational stuff. And some big names even kind of come on the show. But as the years went on, I'm like, well, this is way more fun when I'm discovering music that I want to listen to, that is unique, and it would be cool if the whole playlist was a bunch of songs nobody has heard yet and they can discover. Like, well, that's a cool concept to me. I know it's been done, but it's a cool concept to me to have a full slate of shows of people that can find new music every weekend. And I'm like, well, I'm having way too much fun listening to all these. There's so many songs of the artists that have come on my show. I'm like, well, okay, well, this is added to my personal playlist, not only the show playlist, because I'm going to be listening to this. And, you know, that's the best part. So it turned into, because I had so much fun with all the music I was finding and all these songs me really enjoying and being, you know, and just kind of experiencing it on a different level. And it just became way more, how would you say this part? It was way more rewarding than, let's say, going out to a PR company and be like, yeah, give me the cast of whatever. Let me talk to them. And I've done that. I've had cast of actors from a certain movie. I've had, you know, a bigger name celebrities. Like, I've had all that. But it's rewarding when you're like, when you find a song, the artist comes on. They might have like 500 followers on Instagram. That's cool. But they only have like a couple hundred listeners on Spotify. But then, you know, somebody else comes on the show and says, hey, I wanted to come on this show because I discovered this artist on your show, and it's now we're all connected. I'm like, well, that's the entire goal. Point. I'm having fun. You're having fun.
Exactly. And I feel that's just such a, that's like the best thing as a music lover in general, is just discovering like a new cool artist or song that you just had no idea existed. It might have been, they might have came out with it 10 years ago, and you're like, how did I not know about this? And then you just become a fan. And then I agree with that point too. I think it almost feels more authentic when it's like that as well, as opposed to it being like a super organized thing all the time. Because for me, it's been the same. I've had PR people reach out to me because they heard the show and they're like, I represent X amount of artists. And I can I still do that as long as I feel like their music is good and I enjoy it and they agree and they're on time and all that stuff. But there is something different about either someone you've grown like a connection with, like a friendship with, maybe you worked together before, or just someone that's like, hey, I'm like just starting out, trying to get like, you know, my name out there, want to have like conversations with people. Would you want to have me on the show? Something a little different between those two, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just the feeling of it feels like more genuine, feels like, you know, you're doing something really good. So I definitely see that as well. And for you, because like you said, it's been like since 2019 of doing this consistently every week. How has the planning changed for your show as far as like week to week planning your recording, booking, actually recording, like getting the conversations edited, coming up with questions? Like, how does that all that go for you? Because I know I have my own distinct way of doing my show, but like we said about music, everybody has their own ways of doing things. So how do you organize your show and execute, you know, what you're doing?
Most of the time I plan ahead. Now, not to sound snobby or anything, but I do, and I don't lie, I've said this before on my show, I do get thousands of requests to be on the show. And then after so many years, eventually it gets out there. So I had to start a wait list and all that other stuff for artists. And what I used to do is I just interview in blocks in certain dates and times that are available for interviews. And that has evolved to different availabilities. And everybody has to remember that this is not a full-time job. It's an extra job on top of regular job, on top of everything else life has in store. So the amount of hours for the show is limited. So scheduling is whatever hours are available, whatever week, and then fill in those hours with as many interviews as possible. And then, for example, for the last oh, for the next 6 months from now, I have enough interviews already recorded and in the bank, but I did most of them in December and January. So that's when anybody who booked back then knows when they're going to be coming out, so they schedule their projects appropriately. But it's all about planning. It's all about making sure what time you can afford to do this stuff. You don't want to book and then have yourself every minute of every day just making sure you get stuff out. Then that's not enjoying it. You want to do it when you have time, enjoy what you're doing, and then the rest of the time just promote and release. Because you know as much as I do that the fun stuff is recording and talking to people. The not fun stuff is the social media promotion on everything. That is awful, but it's necessary. Because if this was easier that everybody just goes and listens, we wouldn't have to do that. But we want to reach an audience, and the social media stuff is like 90% of what we do. And that's the 10% that we record is the fun part.
I actually got asked that on someone else's podcast like a month ago about like if you could give somebody advice on it, like if they were starting a show, like what would you tell them? And that was my main thing was like, you gotta plan this stuff way in advance. Like, don't wait till the week before and then be like, oh, I don't have anything ready to go. I don't know what date we're recording. I don't even have any social media stuff. I'm like, you gotta have some templates ready to go. You gotta have like a nice questions thing, a guest list ready to go. Just be prepared. Like, I feel like the host should always be the most prepared. You know what I mean? Like the guest, I think the most you'd ever ask for a get from a guest is like just be on time and like commit to what we scheduled. And if something
Of
comes up, just
course.
let me know and then we can reschedule. For if you're like hosting the show though, you gotta have your shit together. You know what I mean? Like you gotta be ready to go and just show a level of preparedness, but just show a level of like you care about what you're doing, so that way other people will care as well. So I feel like every podcaster, we all kind of like feel that way if we have like legitimate shows, and like we've all kind of been through that stuff as well.
Well, if you're putting your show out there to promote somebody, you're expecting that whoever's coming on will respect you enough to communicate and have it and reciprocate that way, respect your time and what you're doing for them. And you know what? Because this brings up a good point, Anthony. You just brought up a good point. We should know what we're doing, but also we should be recognized for what we're doing because our shows also provide a service to the guests coming on. I'm not saying worship the ground we walk on, but you have an expectation of where we're welcoming you to a platform to talk about you. So courtesy, knowing what you're doing. And to your, and it's funny that you got asked that question because I'm sometimes negative on this stuff because I've been around this for so long. And when people, and I've had a couple of these episodes that I put out on podcasting, and every time I get asked, what would be my advice to someone who wants to think to put up a podcast? My answer is all the time, don't.
Save yourself the
Because
trouble.
most people are not prepared for what you actually have to do. And that's why, 90% of podcasts don't make it past year one. And that's a true stat. Everybody can go look at it. 90% of podcasts don't make it past year one. And because people are not ready for the commitment, they run out of ideas. And if you're on Facebook group, podcast groups and you're asking people what you should talk about on your own show, automatically shut it down, turn it off, delete it, and go do something else.
I think it's
But
the same with anything else too. It's like if you don't have the work ethic and you don't have the love for it too, combine those two, you can't really get that far. You know what I mean? So,
Yes,
but
exactly.
that also brings up another good question, which is I feel like we've all, I've been lucky enough to not deal with this much shit about guests that are just super, I don't want to say disrespectful, but they don't like, you'll communicate with them and you'll get them on the same page and then they'll just ghost, just gone. Like, has that ever happened to you during this whole thing? Like 300 episodes, 300 plus, has that ever happened? Like,
Here's the struggles. I'm sure you've had some of these, and the struggles for a podcaster that does so much podcasting because it's I do almost what 90 episodes for all my shows all year. You're gonna have guests that come on not prepared, which we've already covered, and they give you one word answers, and they don't elaborate on things you're asking them. They don't. We have guests that come on the show and don't even know what your show is about, which is my biggest pet peeve. Because if you haven't listened to my show, why would you want to ask to be on my show?
Doesn't make much sense.
Anthony, do you want to somebody who promotes their cooking book on your show? Would that make sense? Okay,
not
at all. Then you're gonna get those emails. I'm sure you've had those emails. Like, okay, this is not doesn't fit with my with what I'm doing. It's just not understanding. Basically, what I'm trying to say is taking it for granted.
Yeah.
And this is why I don't work with PR companies anymore. And I know you do, which is great. Mm. But PR companies, I think they're very, and I've been yelled at by PR companies last year, which is fine. And I'm sure I'll get yelled at them again because I've had hate emails last year from them, which I still saved. but PR companies, from my experience, don't reciprocate what you do for their artists. Mm. Then they don't share, the guests come on, they're not engaged, they take it as another thing they have to do. Whereas an independent artist who reach out, or I reach out to, have more engagement because they're supportive of what you're doing, because you're supporting them of what they're doing.
Yeah.
A PR company, for the most part, tells their people, now you're going on this show to promote your song, and that's it.
Mm.
So it's more personal when you do it independently. That's why last year and a half to 2 years, I completely stopped, and I had to email them all. I'm like, thank you for your time, but there's no more PR companies that should be, or management companies should be contacting me for anything.
Yeah.
And it's worked out fabulous, because I've not only has my numbers gone up, but my numbers of engagement with artists have gone up, where they're reaching out to me in bigger numbers than me going to ask PR companies to send me people.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's just more genuine that way.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier.
That eliminated, it eliminated all the most of the problems that I had with artists.
Yeah,
just by doing that.
I learned that lesson too, just from doing music. Where I remember, like when I started trying to send like my beats to people, I was sending to managers and like people that were at labels and stuff, and getting nowhere. And I was like, I should just start talking to the artist. Like, why am I talking to a middleman that has nothing to do with any of this stuff? And so, like, podcasting is kind of the same way. It's like, if you're trying to book people or you're trying to get on a show, like, go to the source directly. Like, skip the middleman, man. Like, you just got to kind of, like, get in there and figure it out. But I totally agree. I think you can't just go on a random show just to do it with no purpose. Like, it doesn't make sense. And I've had guests that are, they're not, like, disrespectful or anything like that, but they are like, you could tell they're introverted as hell, and this might be their first show, and they're not giving you anything. And I just keep trying to dig for shit. I'm like, let me ask them this. Maybe it'll help. Like, try to just like figure out how to like get it out of them. But yeah, I've definitely had episodes like that where it's like, they don't, they're not really giving me anything to work with. So I just kind of do my best to get through it. And I'm just like, well, hopefully they had a good time. You know what I mean? Like, if nothing else, I get it. But yeah, it's just kind of like every individual is different. You just kind of got to see like where it ends up. But
for sure. And if you're doing independent artists, you're talking to them while you're trying to book. So you're having that conversation. You're having that back and forth on like Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. You're already talking to them before you even get on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already easier once you are talking to them on the show. When kind of my experience, when I going through the PR company, they just want the link and when to show up. And then you're meeting them for the first time and talking to them for the first time during that interview. But for fun questions, here's one for you. I've had, I think, 4 or 5 artists that were under the age of 12 on my show. So questions for kids that when they're artists are so interesting to work with, because they don't have that experience yet having to have an interview. So I can't wait to have more of those, because that's when you get tested on your interviewing skills with kids who are trying to ask questions that are relevant to like a 10-year-old, and like
you kind of got to you got to tailor the whole interview kind of differently at that point.
Completely.
So, yeah, I've never had that experience, but that's interesting to bring up for sure. But I think that's 100% accurate. You got to break the ice with people too before you just get in there and have a conversation with them. Especially if you're talking about like anything deep or about their career or life or whatever. So yeah, I think that's all great points right there. So I, you know, we'll wrap it up here. Last few questions, and these are ones I ask on every episode, obviously. First one is, if you could go back 10 years ago, maybe give yourself a piece of advice or maybe not change anything at all, what do you think you would do?
Oh, great question. I would probably invest in time more wisely. Just invest your time more, a little bit better, because you don't have that much.
Yeah.
So you plan better and invest better earlier on.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't think we realize that till we get older. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like when you're.
Thanks, Anthony. Thank you.
I was gonna say I feel like I'm 26. And I'm finally starting to realize that. I'm like, yeah.
You'll get there. Wait. You'll get there.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad we both agree on that one. Then. Flipping that then though, when we say 10 years from now, where do you think you want to be with the podcast, with whatever else, whatever goals you have?
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I'm hoping that I'm still able to do the show that long. 4 years is a long time. 300 episodes is a lot. 300 plus now. I think I'm at 340 of what's recorded, so it's a lot. So 10 years from now, oh God. I'm not going to say that the basic thing of, I want to be famous. No, I want to make sure I'm still enjoying what I'm doing. It might be in this format or it might be another format, but I still hope I'm doing what's still enjoyable.
Yeah. I'd say that's the ultimate goal right there, for sure.
Yep.
And do you have any final words of wisdom today other than don't start a podcast if you're looking to start one?
You got me on that one. Yeah. That's good. Do what makes you happy. If it's a podcast, do it. But like you said, have a plan. If you want to do music, do it. Definitely get the art out there. It all comes down to doing what you want to do. And I take that as a personal example. You know, at my age, I want to cover all my bases. I don't have any regrets. And that's the key. Do what you want to do while you can. You know, there's always going to be time for work. It's always going to be time for everything else. Go and figure stuff out now.
Yeah. 100%, man. Well, Jacob, I got to say, thank you for coming on the show, man. This was awesome. And thanks for being the 200th episode. So I really appreciate it, man. We'll have to do this again soon if you're up for it.
Of course, it's an honor. I'm so happy to be here and very glad to be episode 200. And I hope all your listeners learn something. And of course, check out the show whenever you can.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. That was episode 200. I recorded something last week on 199. I'll say it again, though. Thank you guys so much for letting the show get 200 episodes. You know, like I said, 4 years ago, just started the show kind of on a whim. Didn't really know what I was doing, what I was getting myself into, but luckily I've been able to talk to all these amazing individuals, artists, producers, engineers, podcasters, whoever, people in the music space, doesn't matter. Incredible time that I've had being able to do this, host this show, and definitely not slowing down anytime soon. You know, we're going to keep this thing going, and like I said, I just appreciate everybody that has been a guest on this show. Anybody that has listened to this show, follow the social media, support anything that, you know, the Proven Knowledge brand has done in the last 6 years at this point, definitely appreciate it. And just be on the lookout for a lot more cool stuff coming soon. But like I said, we're not stopping, we're not slowing down. So we will see you once again next week. As always, hit that support button on your podcast streaming platform. If you'd like to send any funds as well, and we'll see you then, guys. Thank you again. I appreciate it.